just thank you for all the blessings that you have given us and continue to watch over us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. I want to sing, right? You hear that passage from Matthew chapter 7, you want to sing, right? Wise man built his house upon the rock, and you just go through it, right? Because those words of that song so re-echo that teaching of Jesus. And so the question that we face today from Jesus' own words is, what are you building your house upon? Earlier in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had spoken, even as we looked at last Lord's Day morning, the fact that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And as Leviticus comes to a close in the next couple of chapters, the Lord lays as well before his people in Leviticus chapter 26, how are you building your house? How are you building your life? It's the same question that Jesus is coming with there as he closes out the Sermon on the Mount. The one who listens, the one who listens to these words of mine, that's the wise man. The foolish one is the one who is going to pay no attention to the words. That's what's happening in Leviticus chapter 26. It's a long chapter. I decided I would read the passage from Matthew as our scripture passage. But actually, if I were to look at it and say, where is that found? Where is Jesus getting this teaching from? It would be from Leviticus chapter 26. So we're going to read the chapter, but we're going to read it as we go through the message today. And so I want us to look at four things from Leviticus chapter 26. First, God's reminder. Secondly, God's promises. Thirdly, God's warning. And lastly, on the backside, God's mercy. God's reminder, God's promises, God's warning, and God's mercy. Let's look at the first couple of verses of Leviticus chapter 26, with Matthew 7 now in the background, overarching this particular passage. You shall not make idols for yourself, or erect an image or pillar, and you shall not set up a figured stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. God comes at this particular time in the book of Leviticus with a reminder. These are reminders that come to us directly out of God's law, do they not? Directly out of those Ten Commandments. And he comes to them with a reminder. You shall not. And you shall do this. There is a sense in which God is coming here and he's saying, look, this is what I prohibit you from doing. And it's a sum and substance of all that we find within God's law that is prohibited. Thou shalt not. And so he gives to us a command. Not that he's elevating this command above all the others, but he's giving it to us as sort of a summary. A summary of that which is prohibited. What is it that is prohibited? You shall not make idols. You should not erect an image or a pillar. You should not set up a figured stone in your land and bow down to it, for I am the Lord. Don't copy the nations. Don't copy the world around you. Don't copy that which you saw in Egypt. Don't copy that which you're going to find with the pagan nations that you're traveling through. Don't copy that which you find in Canaan. That's prohibited. But then he comes with, you shall. This is what is acceptable. Even as God's law stands as a door that prohibits us from some things, but that door also opens up to us the blessings of what it means to follow in obedience, the blessings of doing that which God commands. And so here stands then an example of that. You shall observe my Sabbaths. And as we've just finished those chapters dealing with feasts and festivals that precede this chapter, chapter 23, 24, and 25, the chapter that deals with you shall observe, yes, that weekly Sabbath, but also those Sabbaths that have to do with my festivals, the Sabbaths that have to do with the Sabbath year, the Sabbath that has to do with the year of Jubilee. Observe my Sabbath. That's what you're encouraged to do. In other words, this is the way you are to worship me. I invite you. Worshiping me is not prohibited, but you need to worship me as I desire to be worshiped, the Lord is saying. I don't want you to do this. That's prohibited. But this is acceptable. I willingly accept worship that comes from the heart, worship that is sincere, worship that comes to me in the way that I call you to come, in the beauty of holiness. And of course, we know and understand that the only way to approach God then in the beauty of holiness is through Christ. This is what God lays before us, this reminder. That which is prohibited, that which is acceptable. But then God comes with promises. Look at verse 3, how it even begins. If you walk in my statutes, the wise man who hears my words, if you listen, what happens to the home that you built? What happens to your life? What happens to your house? What happens to your family? Even when the wind and the waves and the storms of life beat against it, what is the promise? It will stand. So even here now, in Leviticus chapter 26, God comes with promises. Let's read this section. If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last to the time of the grape harvest. And the grape harvest shall last until the time for sowing. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land securely. I will give peace in the land. And you shall lie down and none shall make you afraid. And I will remove harmful beasts from the land. And the sword shall not go through your land. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and you will confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat old store, long kept, and you shall clear out the old to make way for the new. I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. And I have broken the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. God comes with these glorious promises. If you heed these words of mine, your house shall stand. In what ways? Leviticus chapter 26 says, you will have a life of plenty. You will have a life of all that you need. Everything you need, I will supply to you. Not everything you want, but everything you need will be given to you in abundance. Secondly, you will be given a life of peace. There will be a quietness. There will be a stillness. There will be an assurance. There will be a hope that is given to your life if you heed and listen and follow my words. Third, you will have a life of victory. You will have a life of victory in ways that you can't even imagine. Your strength to stand up for the fight. Your ability to withstand the enemy. You will have so much victory in your life that even you are going to be amazed. If you heed my words, the house will stand. It will not fall. It will not crumble. If you listen to that which I command. That's Jesus speaking. It's Jesus speaking here to the people of Israel. It's the Lord coming to them and saying, if you listen, your house will stand. And then God comes with his promise to them. Not only plenty, not only peace, not only victory, but my presence will be amongst you. I will make my dwelling with you. I will walk among you. Seven times in verses 11 through 13, the words I and mine are repeated. God is saying, you're my possession. If you follow my words, if you follow my teaching, the house will stand. Why? Because you built it so strong? No, because I'm there. I am dwelling with you. My presence is with you. If you walk according to my command. Notice in Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, there's this same thing. If you listen, if you don't. If you listen, house stands. If you don't, house falls. So notice what happens now in Leviticus chapter 26. The same pattern follows. Verse 14 begins with these words. But if you don't listen. Do you hear the echo now of Matthew chapter 7? If you listen, but if you don't listen. Okay? We often think, well, there's no connection between what Jesus is saying in the New Testament and what happens in the Old. There could be nothing further from the truth. Jesus is simply reiterating what has been said in Leviticus chapter 26. If you don't listen, but if you don't pay attention, if you don't follow the Lord, what's going to happen? The house is going to fall, and great will be its fall. Listen to what God tells these people, his chosen people, the church. What's going to happen if they fail to listen? Pick it up with me at verse 14. But if you will not listen to me and will not do all these commands, if you spurn my statutes, and if your soul abhors my rules so that you will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will visit you with panic, with wasting disease and fever that consume the eyes and make the heart ache. You shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be struck down before your enemies. Those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when none pursues you. And if, in spite of this, you will not listen to me, Then I will discipline you again sevenfold for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield its increase, and the trees of the land shall not yield their fruit. Then if you walk contrary to me and will not listen to me, I will continue striking you sevenfold for your sins. And I will let loose the wild beast against you and shall bereave you of your children and destroy your livestock and make you feel few in number so that your roads shall be deserted. And if by this discipline you have not turned to me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you, and I myself will strike you sevenfold for your sins, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall exact vengeance for the covenant. And if you gather within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I break your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread out of a single oven, and shall dole out your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. But if in spite of this you will not listen to me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you in fury, and I myself will discipline you sevenfold for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your incense altars and cast your dead bodies upon the dead bodies of your idols. And my soul will abhor you. And I will lay waste your cities and will make your sanctuaries desolate. And I will not smell your pleasing aromas. And I myself will devastate the land so that your enemies shall settle in it and be appalled at it. And I will scatter you among the nations, and I will unsheath the sword after you, and your land shall be a desolation, and your city shall be a waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate while you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall have rest, and rest that it did not have on your Sabbaths when you were dwelling in it. And as for those of you who are left, I will send faintness into your hearts, into the land of your enemies. The sound of a driven leaf shall put them to fright, and they shall flee as one flees from the sword, and they shall fall when none pursues. They shall stumble over one another as if to escape the sword, though none pursues, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies, and you shall pursue among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up, and those of you who are left shall rot away in your enemies' lands because of their iniquity, and also because of the iniquity of their fathers, they shall rot away like them. God's warning. But if it's Jesus there on the mount warning them, but if you do not listen, if you do not heed these words of mine, great will be the fall of your house. What does that fall look like for Israel? What does that fall look like in the church? It's a life of lacking. It's a life that is always having to crave. There's never any satisfaction. There's never any appeasement. There is a life that just constantly is coveting, because it never has enough. It's a life that is opposed. It's a life in which you're going to know that the Lord your God is not with you, that the Lord your God is not dwelling with you. Instead, that the face of the Lord your God has turned against you. Think of that blessing, right, that we end with, right? That your face might smile upon us. Here God is saying, look, but if you do not listen, then my face turns away. I'm angry with you. And I'm coming in my discipline against you. It's a life that is empty. There is nothing there. There is this dull ache that there is nothing that satisfies my heart, my soul, my life any longer. And great shall be the fall of it. And God goes on and on in this passage, does he not? Warning them, this is what will happen. And it did. Everything we read in this passage of God's judgment took place. They were taken away. Eventually, they did cannibalize their own children. How could one not hear this word of the Lord? How could one not fear these judgments? How could one not say, listen, God spoke to us back there in Leviticus 26. If we don't heed the Lord, look at what happens. Oh, they were so captivated by the world. They were so captivated by the culture around them. They were so captivated by the gods of society. That even though Jesus says, if you do not listen, great will be the fall. We go, well, you know, we don't have to listen to everything he says. Don't we get to pick and choose? Don't we get to pick and choose that which fits us, that which we like? Great will be the fall thereof. And yet, we know that Leviticus takes place within the context of the covenant of grace. There are those, you see, who say that what's happening at Mount Sinai with all this law, with all these commandments, well, God's just repeating what he did to Adam in the garden in that covenant of works. If you eat of that tree, you shall die. Do you notice that's where it ends? The covenant of works ends there. There is nothing else. If you eat thereof, you shall die. How do I know that that which is happening on Sinai is not the same thing? Because there isn't an end to Leviticus chapter 26 there. If it was, think of the desperate situation you and I would be in. Not just the Israelites, but you and I. Who of us could keep this? Who of us could follow this? Who of us would heed this? You see, there is a period after when God says, on the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's it. The covenant works. That's it. There's no hope. There's no mercy. There's no grace. But listen to God. Listen to the beauty of God. Verse 40. But if you, even in the midst of all that has happened, even in the midst of all this judgment, even in the midst of all of their turning away from the Lord, even in the midst of their not wanting to listen to the Lord, God still comes in grace. But if you confess. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers and their treachery that they committed against me, and also in walking contrary to me, so that I walk contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised heart is humbled and they make amends for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I will remember my covenant with Isaac, and I will remember my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. The land shall be abandoned by them and enjoy its Sabbath while it lies desolate without them. And they shall make amends for their iniquity because they spurned my rules and their soul abhorred my statute. Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not spurn them, neither will I abhor them so as to destroy them utterly and break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But for their sake, remember the covenant with their forefathers whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. God's mercy. If you confess your sins, can blind people see? Can deaf people hear? Can lame people walk? Can dead people confess? No. But I will give them a new heart, says the Lord. I will cause them to see. I will open their ears. I will open their hearts. I'll give them a new heart, so that they might turn to me. Are they earning it? Not where we left them, they didn't earn it. Nor where he leaves and finds us. We don't earn this grace. We don't work our way into God's grace. If they confess. But how can they confess? They can't unless the Lord grants us that new heart. This is the Lord reaching out in his great mercy and his great grace. So that even as this morning, when we read God's law and then we pray and we confess together our sins, we do so not because that came from us. That's God's work of his Holy Spirit in our hearts, bringing to mind our sins, reminding us of that which we have done, and causing us in repentance, in humbleness, to say, Lord, I've sinned. That is not your work. It's not my work. That's the work of the one that Jesus promised to send, that Holy Spirit who convicts us of our sins. And then God says, I will remember my covenant. Did God forget it? No. As I've explained this word, remember, before, it means God is bringing it to the forefront. It's there, it's always there. God's covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which was not a covenant of works, which was a covenant of grace. It was God who chose him. It was God who called him. It was God who enacted it. And it was God who passed between the pieces. It was God who did it all. Even as in Christ, he does it all. It is God who brings to the forefront his covenant. Yes, a covenant of grace. He remembers his people. He remembers that there is a covenant relationship. He brings us to confession. And he remembers Christ. He remembers the death of Christ. He's remembering it and knowing it. He's bringing it to the forefront. Even in Leviticus chapter 26, these folks are saved in the same way you and I are. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only through that covenant relationship with Christ. Where are you today? What house are you building? Are you building a home? A building a house upon the sand, ignoring the word of God, ignoring God's truth, ignoring God's claim, ignoring God's son? Or are you listening? Are you hearing? Don't become haughty. If you are, remember, it's only because of God's grace. It's only because of God's grace that you're hearing and seeking to follow the truths of God's word. But if you're ignoring today, and your life is in the shambles of Leviticus chapter 26. But if you, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today if that Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, saying he's talking about you. He's talking about you because you're building a house on sand. And it's going to fall. And it's going to fall hard. And it's going to fall flat. Heed the voice of the Spirit. Confess. And God will remember. God will bring to the forefront Christ as your atoning sacrifice. Then live. Live for his glory. Live for his praise. Live for his honor. And God's people say, amen. Father, you are faithful. There is no shadow of turning with you. You don't change the rules midstream. What has been shall always be. The covenant that you established even before the foundations of the world is still covenant today. The promises that you have made here in Leviticus 26 and the curses that you pronounce have not changed. But neither is the gracious invitation that you offer us. But if you confess, oh Father, we pray that for all of us today, even as we've confessed sin earlier, all of us today, Lord, we pray, fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill us. That we might, Father, rightly see our sin, turn from it, repent of it. Because this is our work, but it's the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And what a blessing to know that you cover all of our sin in the righteousness and atoning blood of Jesus Christ. So that we might stand upon this day and confess you. As our Lord, as our God, as our Savior, as our King, and that we might proclaim, great is thy faithfulness. And to us, it's new again today. In Christ's name, God's people say, amen. We close with three stanzas of 245, great is thy faithfulness, 245.